We are just so thankful, Lord, to come once again, Lord, to receive more instruction and more correction from you, Father. As we talked about last night, Father, that's why we're here, Lord. We're humbled to stand here, Lord, with other men of like precious faith, knowing that we have the same goal, and that is for us as fathers to prepare a family for a rapture, Father. We want to be unpacked of all the bitterness and the strife and all the things that Satan throws at us, Father, and prepare for that coming that we know is coming soon, Father. We just have humble hearts, Father. We want more of you. We just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the burden that you put in Brother Barry's heart to assemble us here together, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'd have a blessing on him and his family, his children, his leadership, Father, this little church. Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And it is up to us, Father, with your blood and the token that you've given us through the prophet, to raise up a standard against it, Father. Just strengthen us, each and every one. Father, just be with Brother Tim as he comes. Lord, just anoint our hearts to receive more of you. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dale. Have your way. Brother Tim needs no introduction in terms of the men's meeting. He's been an integral part and a great contributor over the years, and just has a unique ministry. And I know you'll enjoy, if this is your first time, we know you'll enjoy Brother Tim Dowd from Cloverdale. Brother Tim wears many hats, does lots of things, well-respected all over the world, and been a great blessing to the Bride of Christ. So let's sing this morning. We're going to turn it directly over to him, let him have it. We'll take a break about halfway, and he'll go right through till lunch. So pull on the gift, get your pen and paper ready. Have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way.
That's what we want this morning, and certainly every day of our lives. Lord, have your way, and it's good to be with you again this weekend, and we won't take a lot of time with preliminaries. As Brother Barry said, we wear a lot of hats in many different places all over the world. One of the things that we spend a lot of time is in missions. I mentioned to Brother Barry, I brought some Believer's Faith Challenge reports with me in case there be one person here that never sees that or never gets that. They'll be on the table or somewhere at the back in the lobby, and you can avail yourself of that. I didn't ask Brother Darren Hoffman. Actually, maybe I'll ask you at the break where you're at with that. It's a surprise, and but we'll tell you maybe in the second session. So we'll go till 11 or so, and then take a short break and come back. Are you ready?
Amen.
Lord's ready. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. For those of you that this is your first men's meetings or you haven't been here for a while, on Saturday morning we usually gear down a little bit. I try and stay away from preaching and just do some instruction. And I was amazed last night. I was blessed. Were you blessed? I felt like I was drawn closer to the Lord last night. And that's really what the service is all about. Take a step closer to the Lord. And I was amazed because the service last night and the meetings this morning will definitely overlap. And I was particularly amazed because surprised that Brother Aaron didn't take this scripture last night, because it deals with the body and the spirit, but not the soul, as he was dealing with last night. So we'll take chapter 12 of Romans. Let's just have a word of prayer before we go there. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. You are the mighty one. There's none like you, O God. We might be nervous in our spirits. We might be wound up, ready to go this morning. But now we just ask that the Holy Spirit would come in and calm us down and appoint our every footstep, our every thought, our every action. For you alone are the discerner of the thoughts and intents of every heart that's in this meeting. You know every need. You know every expectation. And Lord, though we have some notes laid out and maybe some slides and whatever we've labored for, but now, Father, we just ask that you'll open our mouth where you want it open and you'll close it where you want it closed. We ask, Lord, for your divine leadership. Touch our hearts, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, I want to read quite a few scriptures just to familiarize ourselves with this quite quickly. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I want to just take that as my title this morning, the measure of faith, and particularly your measure of faith. And for a subject, I'm going to deal with gifts and callings. Now, he goes on and he says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, and so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. There's an amazing statement. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Lord, add his blessing to the word. You may be seated. Now, Paul begins here speaking. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Brother Branham actually zeroes in on this and says he's speaking to believers. He's not speaking to the world. He's not speaking to unbelievers. He's not even speaking to those that are not born again. He's speaking to those, and if you think about the book of Romans, he's come through quite a story from the just shall live by faith all the way up to Romans chapter 8 and adoption and sonship and resurrection and the predestination and the glorification of the believer and all of that on through 9, 10, and 11 as he begins to deal with Israel into chapter 12. Now, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So he's speaking to brethren, and that you be transformed. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which we know the mind is the spirit. And we heard last night Brother Aaron dealing with the heart and describing the connection of the spirit, the heart, and those kind of things. And I'm just going to deal just for a little bit here, just to bring us up to speed. I actually brought an old set of slides. I actually last year took them out of mothballs, so to speak. Hadn't used them for a long time. And about the body, the spirit, and the soul. And I just thought that it'd be a good place to start this morning. So if we could have the slides there that you've got on the screen. And we'll just start with the first quote here, just to bring us our thoughts together as we deal with some of the things maybe even starting from where we were last night and moving on forward from there. I felt so good about what Brother Aaron preached last night. Where is he? Is he sitting here somewhere? Oh, he's right there. I'm not going to say anything. So it's good to have you here, Solicitor. And it was tremendous last night. And I felt like it was so good last night I could just stand up here and talk this morning, as Brother Aaron said, and it would be good for us. But now Brother Branham takes the thought here of the body, the spirit, and the soul. He says, now let me draw you a little circle if I had a blackboard, but I want you to watch here. I'm going to make one ring like this. I'm going to make another ring on the inside of that ring. That's two. Then I'm going to make a ring on the inside of that ring. That's three rings, three circles. Now that's you. That's God. God is a Trinity in one, and without a Trinity, He's not God. He can't be manifested any other way. And neither can you be manifested without being the Trinity person that you are. How many people are you? One person. Just like God, but you're a Trinity being. He says that's body, spirit, soul. Without either one of them, you're not complete, as Brother Aaron said last night. And so here we are, and I'm just going to just take and draw this for you on the screen. We have a body, we have a spirit, we have a soul. The soul controls the spirit controls the body. And that soul is who you are. All right? You are what you are in your soul realm. Your spirit and your body is a part of you, but really you are who you are in your heart, in your soul. And so that soul realm, when we're born in this world shaped in iniquity, come into the world speaking lies, we actually are full of unbelief, but we have that predestinated seed gene down on the inside of the inside. The deep that's calling to the deep. The something that's pushing us. A lot of times, if we never were raised in a church or never maybe were around Christianity, we didn't know what we were hungering for. Brother Ram says in one place, he says, you went from this church to that church, you were hungry and thirsty, and then one day you finally met it. Alright, so that's you down on the inside, that predestinated part of you, that free moral agent that you are between faith and unbelief. Now, we know that on the outside of the body we have five senses, very basic, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. On the inside we have imagination, memory, reasonings, affections, conscience, all of those things that are laying there. Channels, Brother Branham calls them into the inside. All right. Now, we have in this realm, in this spirit realm, which is what I'm going to deal with now, is where we have problems. And I actually believe that as Brother Aaron was preaching, which was so good, this is what troubles us the most. Once you're born again, which we'll come to that, you know, you're sealed to the day of your redemption. But as Brother Branham said in Greatest Battle Ever Fought, it's in the spirit realm or the mind realm. And as Brother Aaron so aptly put it, I'm really going down this channel, aren't I? You know, that's where you want to conquer. That's where God wants to conquer. That's where you need to bring everything into subjection to the Word of God. It's because the devil wants to pervert these senses that you have. You know, he takes your imagination, and these are not exclusive or exhaustive. He takes these realms and turns them into things they're not meant to be. All right? Takes your imagination and turns it to worry and jealousy. It takes your reasoning and will push you into insanity by too much reasoning or pride, and the conscience realm bringing you into condemnation or legalism. And all of these are just examples of different things that where the devil pushes you too far or pulls you away or distracts you or perverts you, really is what I'm saying. He actually perverts your spirit realm, your affections into lusts and idol worship and the memory into culture and complexes, and different things that he ingrains in your spirit that God has to deal with. Because of the way you're raised, the experiences you have, the things that you go through, the influences around your life, they're constantly influencing your spirit. And before you're born again, you actually become very perverted in the spirit realm, whether you look perverted on the outside or not. A lot of these things can take a hold of young men and women in the message of the hour before the new birth. They're because of they're susceptible to many things that come down through the family line and many other ways. I just need to move quickly here. I'm sorry, brothers, just to get it. Now, I just kind of liken the baptism of the Holy Spirit it's a lightning bolt. It's an old graphic. It's all I had to use. And you know, when the fire of God comes to your life, you can be in a service and you can feel the presence of God. Anybody ever felt the presence of God? Sure, and that can come on your flesh. But if it comes on your flesh, you know, that just produces an outward sensation. All right? Doesn't change the inside. Okay? But the Holy Spirit will come into the inside, into the spirit realm. And that's why the Bible says He'll give you a new spirit and a new heart. And so as He comes into your spirit realm, you can actually get cleansed, delivered of many of these things in the spirit realm without actually being born again. That's why Brother Brown says you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost every day of your life and still go to hell. Because unless it reaches down into the soul realm, you're still an unbeliever. So when the Holy Spirit comes down into the soul realm, then it quickens that seed gene and changes that inward nature of the man from unbelief into nothing but faith. All right, so that's now a changed individual. And I just want to highlight a couple of things here before we press on. That realm is where divine love is. Because the Holy Spirit is divine love. God is love, right? Amen. Well, so that's God that comes and dwells on the inside, changes the inside, and makes you nothing but the love of God in your soul realm. And as Brother Aaron said last night, you know, it's the things that's in the spirit realm that hinders the outflow of that love in that realm. Because the devil likes to come around and attack you. He can't do nothing about your soul. Once you're sealed to the day of your redemption. All right? So he attacks you in the spirit realm and brings you into a place where it's a struggle through these channels of the spirit or the mind, and he wants to bring it into captivity. And now I'm going to just dwell with this a little bit here. He wants to bring it into captivity. He wants to bring your spirit under subjection to his ideas. Because he knows if he can twist or hold or confine or in some way keep your spirit contrary to the word of God, he can stop the outflow of divine love which is inside of you. All right? So he wants to block up those channels. And that's why Paul is saying here, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. And I believe in this hour that Satan has come to the pinnacle of that, to where distractions have moved into a realm in the mind realm that it is indeed the greatest of the greatest battles ever fought. And the devil has learned through thousands of years and through the tree of knowledge has invented many things like cell phones. Anybody own a cell phone? All right. So we got a few owners of cell phones here. Because the devil wants to distract you all the time. He wants to pull your mind away from, if I would liken it to Israel going into the promised land, he wants to pull your mind away from the inheritance that has been revealed in the last days and distract you to something that is of lesser value. Like Achan when he went into the promised land. The whole land, he had an inheritance. He had everything before him. But he got distracted by a Babylonian garment. He got distracted by a wedge of gold. He got distracted by temporal things that robbed him of his inheritance. Okay? Distractions. So the devil's object is to bring this back to you because he actually has a purpose in this, in that he knows you. He knows you. Brother Brown says, if I might quote it later, but he says, the devil has one punch coming at each one of us. All right? In other words, you have a weakness, but the weapons of our warfare are greater than that. And Brother Bram says we have to keep that one punch covered. He's likening it to a punch. Of course, Brother Branham was a boxer, and he knew about the tactics of fighting. And so, you know, like a fighter, you know, will always, you know, I'm not a boxer, but, you know, he'll always box, but he doesn't just have his hands down, but he has his hands up because he's trying to block his chin, which is a weak spot. He's trying to block any blows coming against his head. Right? And so his tactic is not just offensive, it's also defensive. And so you have one punch coming at you. The devil knows you. He knows your family. But now I'll say, do you know yourself? Because if you don't know yourself, you don't know what you need to keep covered. And many times we can deceive ourselves. And they go, I got set free of that. I overcame that. But the scar may still be laying in the spirit realm. Even the scripture says, you know, a man can bear his own infirmities. I'm just quoting off the top of my head in Proverbs. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? All right. So there are wounds that happen in the spirit that the devil knows. What happened to you? The devil knows what kind of a complex you got set free from. The devil knows the different things that he's worked on to sow into your spirit realm. And he's maybe worked on your lineage and your going back in your family. And he wants to bring that back into your life in the spirit realm. But that's why we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Bram says, get the general on the battleground. The divine love, the inside of the inside, and that will chase the devil away and drive those things away from us. Amen? All right, so you can take that slideshow down and put the other one up. Thank you. And now, I want to just refer to a quote here that Brother Branham talks about. And he says, this is familiar to us. He says, now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. All right. Now, let's just make that personal. Christ in you is a continuation of the book of Acts. You're the true church. Church is not buildings. It's not titles. It's not headquarters. Church is you. All right. He says, but the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. All right, so how can the Antichrist spirit do that? It comes into the individuals to make you lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Let's not put it out there in a generic, oh, that church over there is lukewarm, or that one over there is powerless. No, he comes into the church, the individuals, to make them lukewarm. To make them formal and powerless, it exposes Satan and it reveals his works, talking about the book of Revelation, the attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people, that's you, get the true revelation of the true church, and what she is. All right. You know, you've heard this quote before, but I want you just to absorb this. It says, what she stands for and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. She'll be undefeatable. All right. Now, he says, if they get a true revelation of the two spirits working within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. Now, why didn't Brother Branham say that Satan hates the new birth? Because after you're born again, God pours in revelation. God wants you to know who you are. You know, I have a son at home that's 2 years old, and he's my son. He was born into my family. But he has to operate by certain laws. Even though you could say he has all rights as a human being. He's totally a human being and a person that's born. I know in America you have a Bill of Rights. And anybody born in the United States has that right. But you can't give a two-year-old child the keys to the car. There's certain things that govern those rights. And now certain things are a certain level of maturity. All right? So it is necessary that a child be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that he can come to maturity, if I can say it that way, even in the natural realm, and be able to understand the responsibilities that comes with the rights that he has. And so is it with a son and daughter of God. You are born again by the Spirit of God. You always were a son. That's why you could be born again. And because now you're born again, God does not just give you all of the keys. In other words, he doesn't pour all revelation in with that new birth. Potentially all power is there. And I could say it this way. All the life, all the power that you'll ever need in your Christian walk is there. But it's the loosing of that power from the inside by getting the Spirit out of the way or in subjection to the Word of God that brings the power of God on display. As Brother Aaron quoted, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise will bring it to pass. Not the right birth. The right mental attitude. Listen, we believe in the new birth. You got to be born again. You know, there's no starting without being born again. We believe in that with all of our hearts. But I believe in the depth of me, and that's why I really enjoyed last night. I know you did too, but I've really been studying on this and waiting on the Lord on this, that we really have left aside the human element in our lives. We can talk about we're divine creatures, and we are. We can talk about we come from the mind of God, and we do. We can talk about, you know, the power of the new birth and the power of the Holy Ghost and how it places us positionally and all of those kind of things. We can talk about all of those kind of things. But you know what? The Bible says that when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he who had a perfect body, and I'll say a perfect spirit, as far as human goes, and Jesus had a human spirit, because if he didn't have a human spirit, what controlled the body? But as he was in the garden, he says, I am exceedingly sorrowful. But just a few days before, he talks about the Lord's Supper, says, with great joy I partake of this Last Supper with you. And so, on one hand, he had great joy. On the other hand, he had great sorrow. You know, there are things in the human realm that God made us as human beings that affect us. You have a human spirit. But you need to know how to operate that human spirit in this realm subject to the Word of God. As a born-again son or daughter, I'm only speaking to sons here. As a born-again son of God, you have come into a place in these last days that the full inheritance has been revealed. Now you can walk as a son of God ought to walk with the revelation that a son of God ought to have. All right. So the scripture Paul takes now in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, and I really wrestled this as far as these slides because I really didn't put any of the quotes up here, just some of the scriptures that I want to refer to because I may not refer to all the quotes. But he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we won't speak much on that. But I want to jump in at verse 2. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of the mind is to prove the will of God, not in general. He's not saying to take, be transformed, that you might stand there and say, I'm going to prove this is the will of God if it takes everything within me. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you're transformed so that you might prove or you might establish what the will of God is in your life. All right? So it's for you individually. Because the transforming of the mind is like the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow of the bone, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God comes to divide between soul and spirit. Now, if you remember the slides we showed, the soul is quickened, but the spirit is where the battle is. But the soul being quickened, it is nothing but the unveiled word of God or the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. And so now that soul realm is nothing but faith. Faith in the word of God and a quickened son of God. So now there's got to be a dividing here, and it takes the word of God to divide between what you are in your soul and what you are in your spirit. Or the battle that rages in your spirit. Because what you are in your soul is that Son of God. But in that spirit realm, there are weaknesses, there are struggles, there are things that affect you, and you can't operate in human realms without that happening. And now I want to say, but it's the Word of God that brings those experiences subject to the power of God that's in your soul. And that's very, very important. Now, you have to be renewed. We know that you're renewed because you're wrongly molded to begin with. As Paul would say, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so we find these things that, and I'm just being careful here, the reason the devil wants to control your mind is because he knows you are an amateur creator. He could do everything, but he couldn't create. But he knows you're made in the image of God. And you're a creator. You can create, Brother Brown goes into it, in creating atmosphere, and you can create positive atmosphere, or you can create negative atmosphere. You create an atmosphere. Let me just quote it for you. He says, Brother Brown says, and is your life worthy of the gospel? He says, you're a little creator yourself. You've seen people that you just love to be around. You don't know why. Just that loving type of person. They create an atmosphere by the way, life they live, the way they talk, their conversation. Then you've seen those who every time you shun them, all the time they want to talk about something evil, talk about somebody. Oh my, here they come, they're going to criticize somebody. He's in here now, he's going to talk about this man. All they're going to do is tell dirty jokes or something about women or something like that. You just hate to be around them. They create. He says, seemingly pretty nice people, but they create an atmosphere. And the things that you think on, the things that you do, the actions, the things you talk about, creates an atmosphere. I always tell my wife, we had this discussion just recently, because worry is the misuse of imagination. Worry is a perversion of your imagination. How many ever worried about something that never happened? Okay, just a few of us. All right. All right. We've all done it, right? You get all worked up. Now, where did that come from? The devil was anointing your imagination. It wasn't something anointing your faith, because if it was anointing your faith, it would come to pass. But the devil knows you're a creator, and so he wants to use your imagination to create an atmosphere and hopefully bring things into the wrong channel. I always give my wife a rough time. She's not here, and I hope she never hears this service. But I always give her a rough time. He says, you always go to the worst case scenario. I said, why do you do that? Don't let your mind go there. You've got to think of positive things. I says, you got to look to God with faith. The Bible says, be careful for nothing or be worried about nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. All right. Now, what that means is when you find yourself worrying about something, you should be praying about it. So immediately you find yourself worrying, start praying. Say, Lord, I'm committing this to you. I'm giving this to you. I'm believing you that you will work this out. And it's the same scripture that if you read on further, I think it's Philippians, where you read on further, it says, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. All right. So we find that the mind realm and the mind battle is something that the devil really wants to take a hold of, even in believers. That's why I enjoyed the service last night. Sorry, brother. I'll just keep mentioning it. Keep giving you compliments. I hope you don't mind. If you just take what was said last night. So why are you falling short? You're born again. If you're born again, why are you falling short? There's something that the devil is twisting in your spirit realm that's hindering the power of God from outflowing in that area of your life. I spoke here recently, but the time before on the law of faith. You have enough power in you to speak worlds into existence and go and live on it. It's in you. Why don't we do it? It's bound by a law, and that law is a law of faith. It's not a law of do's and don'ts. It's not a law of actions. It's not a law of how well you live. It's a law of faith. Faith is a revelation. As much as God will reveal to you, that's what you will come into existence in your life. Because the power already lays in the believer. All right? You can get that. I think Brother Barry's putting up some of those old sessions. All right. Atmosphere. Now, let me just stop here for a moment. I just thought of atmosphere. Brother Brown talks about atmosphere in stories that you're all familiar with. Okay, he talks about a brother whose wife was having troubles with his wife. He believed the message, his wife didn't believe the message. And so he came to Brother Brown and he says, When I go home and she's upset with me for coming to the service, he says, I take her and I hold her and she can't get away, and I rebuke that devil as hard as I can. What a wonderful home life. And he says, and Brother Brown listens to him, and he says, Brother, that's not how you do it. He says, well, what am I supposed to do? He says, next time you go home, take a box of candy with you. Put your arms around your wife, tell her how much you love her. She's not going to be won by telling her she's got a devil in her. But you cast out devils by perfect love. Amen. You cast out fear by perfect love. Yes, yes. You create the right atmosphere. Sometimes I'm always amazed at how marriages break. I'm amazed that marriages break down in the message. As a minister, I've pastored for 27 years. I'm not pastoring now, but I'm always amazed how marriages break down when we have so much. And God has opened His Word to give us, as brothers, this great portion of divine love, the capstone, in these last days. And marriages fall apart. We're missing it somewhere. We're not taking the Word and applying it in the right way. Like Brother Branham, of course, when he went home to meet a crying and the children fussing and all of that. And, you know, he didn't set one foot in the kitchen and one foot in the living room and raise his hands and swear by him that lived forever and ever and say, everybody, hold your peace. I'm a prophet of God. No, I did this in South Africa and they lost it because they're a real macho society down there. Excuse me if there's any South Africans here. I said, but Brother Branham took out an apron and put it on and went into his kitchen and started drying the dishes. Real macho. And, you know, I was in South Africa and the sisters, they were shocked. They were sitting down in the front row, Brother Dale, and they were snapping pictures of Brother Tim. I said, don't you post that on social media. Sometimes as brothers, we need to humble ourselves. We'll come to that. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is God's will in your life. What is God's purpose in you? Show what is approved of God, not what is approved of one another. Don't take advice from a friend above advice from the Word of God. I have a brother, naturally speaking. He was having trouble in his marriage and he came to me. He said, Tim, what should I do? I gave him some advice. God was gracious. He followed the advice. He's not a believer. And he followed the advice so on and it helped his marriage. A little while later, the marriage the trouble reappeared, which is like it is in the world. And it reappeared. And so he didn't come to me for advice. He went to his friends for advice. And his friends are all divorced. Guess what happened? He got divorced. Don't take advice from the wrong people. Amen. Look for what is approved of God, not what is approved by society, your fellow man, your brothers. It's what is the will of God. If it's God's will, why do you have to prove it? We would think that we just have to surrender to it. But you must know individually how to form your mind to the things that God has called you to. Very simply, and I'll come back to this subject, but musicians. How many musicians do we have here? And, all right, number of musicians. Now, as a musician, you have to form your mind to music. You have to get into music. You could grow up with a talent. You could be gifted. But if you're not letting your mind absorb the principles of music, you'll never become the musician you're supposed to be. So when it's revealed to you that you're a musician, you need to form your mind to those things. All right? Husbands, when it's revealed to you that you're to be a husband, you have to form your mind to the thoughts of what a husband is meant to be. A husband is not someone that's out fishing, hunting all the time, leaving the family at home, devoting their life on some other thing, like the brother that sang the special last night. You know, it's not that you're all distracted. If you want the presence of God in your home, you've got to form your mind to what it's been revealed to who you are. If you're called to be a deacon, you've got to form your mind to those things. If you're called to be a minister, you've got to form your mind to those things. And if you're not called to be a minister, don't form your mind to the things of ministry. If you're not called to be a musician, no matter how well trained you are, it'll never produce what it will produce in someone that's actually called to that or gifted for that. All right. So it's to prove what is the perfect will of God in our lives. I'm not a big fan of the Amplified Bible, but sometimes it puts it in an interesting way. And here it says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. Why do you do what you do? What's your recreation? Why do you do it? Why do you wear what you wear? What occupies your time? Why does it occupy your time? Listen, saints, we should be walking, as Brother Branham said, in perfect faith. We should be mystics to this world. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying we're at the hour where we are the mystics in this age. You know, when the world looks at us, I can't even say God help this age, because God is not going to help this age. He's going to judge this age. But you know, when the world looks at you, it says, why are you like that? What is different about you? What have you got? And they actually view you almost as insane when they're the ones that are insane. It's quite an age that we're living in. Be not adapted to this external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not, and I may view it as a heretic for this, it's not good enough that we can prove Brother Branham was a prophet. You need to prove God in your own life. One time, I'm not sure if I told the story here, I was in India, and a little boy, about 12 years old, came up to me and says, after service, I could see he was kind of a strange one. He had a turban on, but he said he was Catholic. And so he said to me, he says, I want you to prove to me that the things that you preach are true. I said, and I told him, I can't. And he looked at me kind of strange. I says, I can't prove them, but God can prove them. And he says, well, what do I do? I says, see this pastor here? I says, he's got some books. I says, you take a couple of those books, you go home, you read them, and you ask God, are these things true? And God will reveal it to you if it's true. About 10 years later, I was in the same area, and a young man walked into the room before the service and said, do you remember me? And I looked at him, and I didn't recognize him, but my mind went back to that first instance I just described. And I says, were you a boy that had some questions when you were a lot younger? Yeah, yeah. He says, that was 10 years ago. I said, and he says, I took those books, I read them, I prayed, and God proved himself to me. He says, now I'm a minister of this message. And so that was God making himself real to the individual. Listen, we have a supernatural gospel. We're not teaching a philosophy. We're not trying to instruct people in the doctrines of a message. We're trying to bring them to the reality that they're a predestinated attribute of God meant to be manifested in this age. What a message we have. That you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. There's we are. Be transformed. You still with me? All right. Let's go on to the next verse. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We have faith by measure. Jesus had it without measure. We have the Holy Spirit by measure. Jesus had it without measure. There's no one of us that has all faith. There's no one of us that has all revelation. But the Lord Jesus had it all. But as even he showed in the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2, when he ascended up on high and he sent back his Spirit upon the church, and he divided that Spirit in the form, the visible form of licks of fire upon each one. So it was the pillar of fire dividing himself, apportioning himself to each individual. Now, Paul is speaking here now, and he's saying, now I want you to think soberly or seriously that not any more highly than you ought to, but according to how God has dealt to you the measure of faith. Now let's stop there for a moment. This is the center of our thought today. How has God revealed himself to you personally? We all know the reason we're here. God sent a prophet. We all know God is one. I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't been, you need to be. And so we all understand serpent seed, church ages, messengers, seals, many things that go with the, I'll just call it the overview of the message or the many of the mysteries in general that have been revealed in the last days. But remember when the seals were taken off the book, what was the book? As Brother Branham describes it, he says, John wept because his name was on there. Your name was on that book. And if that book wasn't redeemed, you're not redeemed. If no man could take the book, we're all lost. All right? And so in that book lays the individual revelation that God gives to you personally. Now we don't, that doesn't mean we're all off some loner somewhere, we live by ourselves, do our own thing. No, as a part of the one body of Jesus Christ, we all have unique gifts within that body. And Paul says, now think of yourself. Don't think more highly than you ought to, which actually means don't be vain, don't be arrogant. Which actually this term is only one word in the Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar, so I won't try and pronounce it. But don't think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Just one word. Don't be arrogant. Don't be vain. Don't be lifted up. All right? But it's closely related, and I think I have some examples here. He says, he talks about Israel now. He says, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. Now he's talking about Israel, how they forsook the gospel. Now I'll say, there's many that have walked away from the message. But don't be high-minded. It's God's grace that you see what you see. It's not because you're anything special. It's not because I'm anything special. But what God has done in our lives. I'm thankful I never walked away from the message. I'm very grateful for what He revealed to me. I can't walk away from it. It's just a part of me as much as anything else is a part of me. And so be not high-minded, but fear. Or be reverent. For what God has done in your life. Seeing what God has done in your life, be respectful to that. There's nobody here. I think I can honestly say you've come to this meeting because God has done something in your life. From the youngest to the oldest, wherever you are in life, whatever that might be, God's done something for you. Be respectful and reverent towards that. That's God's dealing in your life. That's supernatural. That's sovereign. Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. The same word here. Nor trust in uncertain riches. But in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. A funny story. Maybe I'll take a break. I was talking to a brother, a contractor one time, and he said, I was asking him, I says, how do you bid a job? How do you decide on a price for what you do? He says, well, he says, I go into a house and I have my paperwork there. And he says, I look in the driveway. He says, there's a BMW. Ka-ching. He says, oh, there's a nice Mercedes. Ka-ching. He says, I go in the house. Oh, that's nice furniture. It just adds to the price. I said, wow, that's a real unique way to do it. I says, why do you do it that way? He says, it's scriptural. I said, okay, I'll bite. Why is it scriptural? Because the Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world. That they be not high-minded. So I'm doing the work of the Lord. And the funny thing was, he was serious. That's what he thought that meant. I said, brother, I hate to break it to you. That's not what that scripture means. If God has blessed you, with monetary possessions. Don't be high-minded. God will bless whom He will bless. And believe me, as Brother Branham said, most of God's children are poor. And don't labor to be something you're not. But God has certain individuals, and I've preached on this here before, that He will bless, and it'll just work for them. I'm not one of those. I gotta labor for every nickel that I have and figure out how to work my finances out and all that kind of thing and just try and labor and do as best I can. But if you're rich and God has blessed you, I'll tell you what, God gave that to you. Don't be high-minded. Don't be lifted up. Don't be arrogant. Say, what's wrong with everybody else? God has blessed me. I don't understand. No, that's prosperity gospel. We don't believe in that. The Bible doesn't teach that. But God will bless. He will meet all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time in this first session. And now we ask, Lord, that You'll just give us a short break. Seems like we just got started and we're stopping. And now, Lord, give us a short, brief intermission as we refresh these bodies and press on to the second session. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Okay. Okay, so out back, there's some refreshment?
Yeah,
a little bit of refreshment out back. All right, 10 minutes, we'll be back at it. 10 after 11.